Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is we have two places. First one is Mark chapter 1, 14 to 15. And second one is Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 7. I'd like to read is Mark chapter 1, 14 to 15. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The second one, Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 7. "And I saw another angel flying in mid heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and peoples. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and earth and sea and spring of waters.'" This is the God of the world. Today's title is the Eternal Gospel. The Eternal Gospel. Last week, as we began Lent, we received grace through the words, "Rejoice that you share in the suffering of the Lord." We realized that the Lord could not suffer because, though he came as the Lord of glory for our salvation, no one understood the reason for his coming or his true natures. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, "For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And now we learn that those who believe in Jesus must do something on this earth. They must suffer to complete God's redemption by following the Lord. This suffering is for the sake of the church. According to the Colossians chapter 1, 24, the Apostle Paul talked to us, "I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions." How can we fill up what is lacking in Christ's affliction in our own flesh? First, we must understand why Jesus suffered. Only then can we follow the Lord and fill up his afflictions. Jesus suffered for one reason alone, because of the word. To be precise, it was because of the gospel of the kingdom. According to the Luke chapter 4, 47, is that Jesus said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." Today's passage in Mark's gospel speaks of the gospel of God, in Luke's gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and in Matthew's gospel, the gospel of kingdoms. He came to this earth to do work of proclaim this gospel. Today, I hope that we will take a closer look at the gospel that we have heard countless times, and as those who had been entrusted with the gospel described in the Bible what we ought to do. By putting it into practice, I pray that you and I may experience the grace and love that the Father has given us. First, must we not clearly understand the true nature of the gospel that Jesus came to this earth to proclaim? The gospel is Greek, is Evangelion. Evangelion means good news. We call this gospel in English, which comes from the Old English gospel, that is a spelling is a G-O-D-S-P-E-L. G-O-D-S-P-E-L. Meaning God's story or good news, good story. The Bible declares that the subject and the starting point of this good news, this good God story, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. According to the Mark chapter 1, verse 1, is Mark wrote down that right there, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The core of Jesus is salvation. according to the Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and you shall call him name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. The Jesus, the meaning is that is he will save his people from their sins. And for those who believe in Jesus' gospel, it is defined as power of God that brings salvation. Is Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes the gospel, right? In other words, the gospel is the joyful news that the salvation comes through believing in the gospel God gave through Jesus Christ. Because it brings salvation from all sin, the Bible describes this gospel as joyful news, good news, beautiful news. However, this good news, the gospel, did not come to us suddenly. The Old Testament, which testified to everything about Jesus, prophesied about this gospel in many places. It taught us in many places that the gospel, the good news of the salvation has come to us, that is the Messiah, the Christ, and that we must not miss out on salvation by believing and receiving him. Isaiah, in particular, testified to Jesus, the central figure of this gospel throughout his entire life. Let's look at the Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9 to 11. Is the Isaiah spoken, God, get yourself on high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice, the mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. That is the gospel. Lift it up, do not fear, say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Here is your God. And I give you another one. This is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 27. Isaiah spoke to us, I give you a messenger of good news. And I give you another one, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. So, how lovely on mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces the peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says, Zion, your God reigns. And the prophet Nahum talked that. Nahum chapter 1, verse 15. Behold, on the mountains of the feet of him who brings good news, who announced the peace, celebrate your feast. Now, this good news, the glad happiness, the blessed good news, all come from the Hebrew is Mebatseret. Mebatseret. This word originates from the original is Basar. Basar, meaning to blossom or to flourish. Just as the beautiful flowers blooming in the wilderness of all the lush greenery delight the human spirit, this word is used to signify the bring refreshing news or joyful tidings. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, the content of this beautiful news is, behold God. The common translation states, your God is coming. This directly refers to Jesus coming in the flesh. Paul is quoted this passage to emphasize it further in the Romans chapter 10, 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. This is speaking directly of Jesus. Although John the Baptist testified about Jesus, it was Jesus himself who came to this earth sent by God with the gospel of the kingdom of God to proclaim it to us. Why did the Lord come to this earth with the gospel? It was out of love for us. According to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. Even though we betrayed God, became his enemies, and were sinners, God loved us first. Because that love, he delivered the gospel to us, given to the point of giving his own Son to die. Truly, he who have received such love are blessed peoples. In the Old Testament, such people are called Jeshurun, that meaning is beloved one, the upright ones. According to the Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2, thus says, the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will have you? Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. Thus, we should be thankful and deeply moved that we live even this moment today within God's love, care, and protections. And for this God who loves me so, there must be a way to repay his grace. Repaying the grace is precisely accepting this gospel and believing Jesus Christ, the very substance of the gospel. So is the Apostle Paul from the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, he the warning to us. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. When the Lord was in the synagogue in Nazareth, the people did not believe in him who had come with the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the gospel was not received by the people of Israel. So he took up the book of Isaiah, read from it, and testified about himself. Let's look at the Luke chapter 4, verse 17 to 18 and 21. I'll let it read for you. And the book of the prophet Isaiah, that the content is belong to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3, was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. That is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. I'd like to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What we must truly not overlook here is that God's word has been fulfilled among us. This is independent of whether we believe or not. God's word continues to unfold. The one choice left for us is whether we participate in this work of redemption or not. And the Lord himself declared, now that the Lord has come and spoken personally, those who have not received his word have no excuse for their sins. According to the John chapter 15, verse 22, the Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. The word of judgment was proclaimed already 2,000 years ago. According to the John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus talked also, he who reject me and does not receive me, saying, has one who judged him, the word I spoke is what will judge him at the last days. And I give you another one, John chapter 9, verse 41. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. However, to us who have heard, seen, and experienced the gospel through Jesus himself, who is the very substance of the gospel, he declared that we are blessed. Amen. In the Matthew chapter 13, verse 16, Jesus said, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Furthermore, the Lord said this: "What we now see and hear is what countless prophets and kings desired to see and hear, yet they neither saw nor heard." You can find at the Luke chapter 10, verse 24. How precious we are to be hearing and seeing these things today. Beloved saint, do you believe in this great joy that we daily see, hear, and touch what countless ages and countless great ones have longed to see and hear? Do you believe that God has esteemed us so highly? We must believe this truth. Yet, we live with our heart stolen by daily eating and drinking. Even when the gospel is placed in their mouths and ears, they refuse to eat or hear it. How pitiful they are! Did not the Lord himself say that not hearing this gospel meaning immediate judgment? If we truly believe in the reality of the gospel, we must feel heartbroken that our loved ones have not yet received it and must share it with them. Not accepting this gospel means eternal judgment. But for us who have heard Jesus' gospel, there is the work of eternal life. Jesus said in the scripture, John chapter 6, verse 40, he said, "Is I myself will raise him up on the last day." Because within the gospel of the Lord that we have heard lies the spirit and life. According to the John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "Is the word that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." The Apostle John is understood that the gospel is Jesus himself and proclaimed this to the early church. According to the 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, I'd like to read for you. "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which has with the Father and was manifested to us." But why preach the gospel? There is a purpose more important than mere survival. Let's go to the 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Is I let it live for you. "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is within the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." By believing the gospel and sharing the gospel with those who do not believe, we bring them into the fellowship that we have through the gospel with Jesus and God the Father. The purpose is to make them one and to lead them into fellowship with God. Did not the Lord himself say it? It is because only through the fellowship of being one with the Father and Jesus can we fully know God's love. According to the John 17, verse 23, Jesus said, "I in them and that thou in me, and they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them even as thou didst love me." It is precisely this gospel, this fellowship, and this love that our Lord First Church has received. Amen. Yet, if a church has received the gospel failed to become one within itself, this is proof that we have not truly accepted the gospel. When the gospel enters our midst, joy becomes full. This is because the light, that is the word, enters our dark souls, drives out all darkness, and fills us with the light. According to the 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, and these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Everyone who has received the gospel becomes right. There is no high or low, no noble or lowly among them, because they are filled with the light of God. That is why it is not called simply the gospel, but the gospel of God, the kingdom of God, and the gospel of heavens. There may be great tidings in the world, but those great tidings are not the gospel of God. They are the gospel of the world. The joyful sound the world brings prevent us from hearing this gospel of God, hinder us from receiving it with joy, and so force food and darkness in our hearts. Even in the early church, Satan interfered to prevent acceptance of this gospel of the kingdom, spreading the gospel of the world, another gospel. Let's go look at the Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. I'd like to read for you. Which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and wanted to distort this distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accused. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. Amen. To distinguish this from the other gospel, the Apostle Paul called the gospel Jesus we preached, our gospel. According to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, and it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this gospel was entrusted to me, according to the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Therefore, the Apostle Paul could confess it as my gospel, because the gospel of Jesus entrusted to him was one to which he must be faithful, staking his life and mission upon it. According to the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Apostle Paul talked to us, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Beloved saint, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been proclaimed to our churches through Jesus Christ. God established the first church so that it might serve as the light and salt. Now is the time for each of us, as those entrusted with the gospel, to go forward with the gospel given to us and fulfill the mission that has been entrusted to us. This is because we are debtor to the gospel. According to the Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul said, I am under obligations both to Greek and to barbarian, both to the wise and to the foolish. The Apostle Paul is confessed himself a debtor to the gospel because God's grace was so abundant toward him, forgiving his sin, showing him mercy despite being an enemy of Jesus who persecuted the church, and establishing him as a faithful messenger to proclaim the gospel. You can find at the second, First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. The above all, the when he looked upon Saul still suffering in darkness and death, deprived of Jesus' love and the gospel, he believed that willing enduring all suffering for their souls was the way to repay his debt to the gospel. According to the Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, he confessed that, "My children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Are we not also debtor to gospel? Are we not those who have received God's grace and love, which we can never repay with anything we possess? Yet do we not live as if we had paid every debt? In the last days, God entrusts us with this eternal gospel. He has established us as a witness of this gospel of heavens. According to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, "But just as we have been approved by the God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as a pleasing man, but God who examines our heart." And he has given us to the ministry of reconciliations through the preaching of the gospel. According to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, "Now all those things are from the God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliations." Now is the last hour to receive this eternal gospel. For after this proclamation of the last little book, the word of redemptive history judgment will immediately come. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 7. Today, the scriptures I let read for you. "And I saw the another angels flying in mid heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach in those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and peoples. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come.'" The hour of his judgment has come, "and worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water." Beloved saints, the Lord is watching even now to see if we are being faithful unto death to the mission he has entrusted to us. Jesus has given us the spirit of prophecy, commanding us to proclaim his gospel. Whether we find the opportunity or not, we must show and share God's love by spreading the word. Gospel. Nevertheless, we must also remember the woe come upon those who think only of themselves and are lazy in sharing this gospel. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion, for who is me if I do not preach the gospel?" And Jesus talked also in the Luke chapter 12, verse 47, "And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will shall receive many lashes." We must do our utmost. The Lord has entrusted us with the task of proclaiming this eternal gospel to those around us who still do not believe in Jesus' gospel or who believe in another gospel. The only way we can repay the grace and the love given to us is through faithfulness. Amen. Let's pray together. We thank you for revealing the path that we must walk today through the living word. Through the Lord loved us and came to this earth to give us the eternal fellowship with God through the gospel. How many still live as children of darkness, failing to recognize him and rejecting the gospel. Yet God loved the world to the end, establishing the church as the bridgehead to proclaim this gospel to the world, entrusting the gospel to the church and commissioning it to spread the message. We have been chosen and called to this very work. The world rejects this gospel, hinders it, and seeks to destroy it. Even in the midst of this, may the gospel of Jesus become my gospel. Great that by proclaiming this gospel, I may faithfully carry out the ministry of Jesus. Please help us never to forget, even for a moment, that this is the work we must do on this earth. Make us people of the gospel who faithfully devote ourselves each day to preaching the gospel. Grant that in the last days we may receive the life of eternal life and be counted among those who received from the Lord the blessed name Jeshurun. And we ask and earnestly desire all these things, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.